Ross Atkins is general manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, and he joins Stephen Brunt and myself on Primetime. Hello, Mr. Atkins.
Hey, Jeff. How's it going?
It's going...
No reggae intro.
Yeah. No. Yeah, why do we... Oh, we played John Lennon. Was John Lennon's birthday today, Dylan? It's John Lennon's birthday. We would have been 79 today, yeah. So, anyhow. Well, we usually do play reggae when you come on, but we'll find reggae. It's there in
Hard
spirit.
Hard to beat the Beatles. Hard to beat.
Bob Marley's... Anyhow, we don't want to get into music discussion by any stretch of the imagination. Hey, I got a question for you. I know you guys have done your postmortem, and you know, and we'll talk about the season in a minute. But this thought occurred to me as I was watching the Astros and the Rays, and to a certain degree as well the Yankees. But you know, we're seeing teams right now in the playoffs that are considered to be really top analytical teams, and I was just wondering, Ross. Knowing how much work you guys have done, do you still have some work to do to catch up to a team like the Rays, like the Astros, or maybe the Yankees?
Yeah, you know, it's so hard to say, Jeff, really. It really is, because there are clear gaps that we are motivated to close that we're aware of based on having members of our organization join from different organizations and understand where there's opportunities, and having relationships in the game where, you know, there's areas where we can grow and get better and try to close gaps relative to organizations. But as we're closing gaps, we're hopeful that we're also opening up gaps on the positive side, and that we're integrating or deploying information better than other teams. But it is clear, if you just think about the amount of time and the number of resources that have been committed to the Rays, to the Yankees, to the Dodgers, obviously Houston, mm-hmm. for a number of years. And those departments are robust. So they're 20 plus, not all of those organizations, but I believe LA and New York are, in the 20s, if not at 20. And we've grown from one or two members, depending on when you talk about the starting point, to 12 members at this point. So, but it's not just having resources. It's not just the amount of time that those resources are being utilized or deployed or integrated. The real competitive advantage, in our view, and what we're so excited about, is across the organization, the open mindset to, or just the openness to think about the integration, to think about tapping into all of the subjective experience and opinions that we have, and think about how we can research that subject opinions, theories, thoughts on development, thoughts on acquisition, thoughts on just advanced scouting and how we attack hitters, or how we what our approach is in a major league environment. That's where we feel we have a true competitive advantage, because it's a huge part of our hiring process to make sure that people are open-minded to thinking about using information and creatively making it better. And that's where we hope that we're creating big gaps relative to other organizations.
Ross, I want to ask you two questions, really, about, you know, one facet of the offseason, but it's the facet I think that fans pay the most attention to, which is free agency. There have been times you guys have gotten out in front of the market a couple of times. You've been very aggressive quickly in terms of the market. We've also seen markets in the last couple of years that, you know, they've been hard to read before they started. Sometimes they've moved very slowly. They moved pretty slowly last year. It seems to be a thing that is, you know, that's more fluid than it used to be in the past, or less predictable in the past. I guess the first question, but when do you think you'll have a read on what the free agent market is going to be like this offseason? And the second part of that, the second question is, you know, given where you guys are, you know, on the curve with this team, how do you feel about paying draft pick compensation for somebody that's got a qualifying offer hanging over them?
Yeah, so, you know, great question, Stephen, and those are things we're talking about and have been talking about for some time. So, I think we will have a better feel this year that if what has occurred over the last three off seasons, if that's going to repeat itself sometime halfway through or just into December at some point, we'll have a better feel if it looks like it's going to be consistent with the last three off seasons. And early on, if there's not a lot of movement, I would suspect that that it will be. It will be very unpredictable, and a lot of people playing poker until the end. It seems as though more and more the nature of the front offices has been to wait until the last possible moment, have as much possible information as you can potentially have. I would imagine that all 30 teams are also thinking about, okay, well, how do we counter that? And as teams are zigging, how do we zag? And to your second question, draft pick compensation, absolutely. You know, it is not something that is going to deter us or keep us away from acquiring a player. It's a lot easier to value. And as you know, the compensation has changed a bit. So, that is not going to be something that deter us. We have a very good feeling or a very good sense of how to place a value on that and just factors into the acquisition cost.
Ross, the explosion in some of the offensive numbers we've seen in baseball has led to, a suggestion, at least from the commissioner, that at some point the ball may be changed. And I'm wondering how that or does that impact a team as you go about making your off-season planning? You know, that essentially some of the numbers you see now may be skewed and may not represent what the reality is necessarily in next season or even the season after that.
Yeah, I mean, it is definitely interesting to think about. It's hard to really factor in what the change could be. I think it's best to, deal with the information that you do have for sure and be prepared to adjust. And that's why we're always talking about flexibility and versatility and the importance of that and why it's so important to, when you can, maintain them. Having said that, we are all for taking very calculated risk. If that means massive investments, if that means bigger trades, we're all for that at the right time and lining those up for bringing a collective group together that could be very, very powerful.
Arizona Fall League is ongoing. It started early this year, Ross. Last year you had Kevin Biggio there. You've had some interesting guys go through there for sure. Could you talk a little bit about who you have in Fall League this year and kind of what you're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, guys, we were waiting on our selections on some, there was some rule clarification that was occurring, and then there was September performances. We were considering sending TJ Zoik to continue his development based on what transpired in the major leagues with him. Also the rule of a 40-man roster player being sent there prior to being a September call-up. We're actually going to be sending Julian Merriweather out there just after his next bullpen this week to be added. So on the position player front, it was, wanting to continue the development of Logan Warmoth and Kevin Smith and Cullen Large. Those guys have, to varying degrees they've all had different years, and, Logan is disappointed in his year and he's off to a good start in Arizona Fall League. And Kevin Smith is a constant student of the game, trying to make adjustments and trying to figure out ways to be exceptional and not just be average. And he's taken a big, big step back with the adjustment that he did make. And I am optimistic because of his perseverance and because of his athleticism that there will be another turn for him. And it just hasn't happened yet. And Cullen Large has been very consistent this year. So different for each guy and different for position player versus pitcher. And I'm glad that league exists. It's still a very powerful one in players' careers and in their development.
What's the role of winter ball at this stage? Like how many guys are you going to have in winter ball and how is, does it have a role for you guys anymore?
Oh yeah. It's such an interesting topic because there's massive opportunity in those leagues for the competitive spirit and just dealing with the win now atmospheres that they create. So depending on where they are, it's especially powerful for position players, can sometimes feel a little bit vulnerable for pitching. I'm certainly not opposed to it. And Elvis Luciano will be pitching and starting for his hometown team. We're excited to watch his development and continue the development there. But I'm a huge fan. We are huge fans of any development opportunity like that. Having said that, it's not always the most productive thing for people to play baseball for 11 months of the year. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when you factor in, you know, the length of spring training, the length of a season, and then the build up to get prepared for winter ball, you have to factor in all of those pieces of the equation and then how often you do it. So Teoscar Hernandez won't be playing this year because of how often he's done that and wanting to have his body have a better chance to recover.
Ross, we have 90 seconds here. I did want to ask you about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and his offseason. Is there a plan? Like, obviously, there's a plan in place for him, but when does that plan kick in? When does it commence? And what will his schedule look like in the offseason?
Yeah, we're excited about it. He got to a point where he set the goals with us and talked about them, not only from a standpoint of where he wants to get physically and from an overall athleticism and agility standpoint, body comp, but also how he was going to go about it and set up a calendar. He's coming to Florida less than 2 weeks from now. I think he's coming on the 20th or the 21st, and he'll be there for an extended period of time and go home a little bit for the holidays and then come back in January and spend the bulk of the time there with us. And like anything else, it's really the time spent with really good resources and really good structure is just so powerful for someone as young as he is. And we're very excited for him and excited for us for what that could mean.
Ross, it's great of you to do this. Thanks so much, man.
All right, Jeff, anytime. Thanks, Steven. Thanks for having me on, guys.